Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. How many are ready for the Word today? Yeah, I'm ready to give a word to you today. God's going to encourage us. It's going to be practical. It's going to help you. I'm certain of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I want to read this out loud and together, okay? Let's read. Are we ready? Is it up there? Yeah. All right, here we go. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So last week, we spent a lot of our time establishing the authority of God's word, right? And I want to do a little bit of a review. So we looked at Psalm 119:89, and it says this. It'll come up on the screen. It says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is faithful. Forever, O Lord, your word is faithful." It's settled in heaven. All right, and so we're talking about how important it is for us to recognize that God's word is forever settled in heaven. All right, and so the reality is, though, it's not always settled on earth. You know what I mean? I mean, it's settled in heaven. It's established in heaven. So whatever God spoke is set in place. It's unarguable. It's not up for debate. God's word is settled in heaven. But there's a space between heaven and earth. Right? And this space in between heaven and earth is called the spirit realm, and there's a war going on there, and it's a war of words. All right, listen, what are arguments? Words. Yeah, they're words, right? They're words, and so God's word is settled in heaven, and so our idea, our thought, and our goal is to be able to close that gap so that God's word is settled in our heart, because when God's word comes out of your mouth by faith, supernatural things happen. Yes. Amen. So God's word is all powerful. And we looked at this. These will come up on the screen. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "In the beginning, God created the world, the heavens and the earth," right? Yes. "Said the earth was without form and void." So there was holes in it. There was empty spots in it. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light." Yes. "And there was light." So God went on speaking things, and he created everything with his words. With his words. They're all powerful. And so it goes on in Psalm 33:6. It says, "The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and the stars were born." So everything that God created was created with his words. All right, so listen. This is established in heaven. It's settled in heaven. We need to get this settled in our heart, all right? We're going to come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, but I want to bring some verses to us so we can get a running start and jump right into 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with a lot of faith. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." The worlds were framed by the word of God. All right. And so God says that, man, whenever I speak a word out of my mouth, it'll come to pass. It's going to happen. He has no question about it. Yeah. So we looked at Isaiah 55:11, and God is speaking to the prophet Isaiah, and he starts telling him that as the snow and the rain come down and don't return to heaven, but they water the earth, and they cause whatever's in the earth to bud, and it breaks through the earth. So God says, so shall my word be that comes forth from my mouth. It's just like that. It's not going to return to me void. It's going to come, and it's going to accomplish what I please, and it's going to prosper in the very thing for which I sent it. So listen, what we need to do is we need to understand that God's word is unarguable. It's absolutely powerful. And listen, when you get the word of God down inside of your heart and it settles in there and you speak it out with faith, you'll see supernatural results. And that's what we're after, amen? Listen, we're believing that God is going to bring miraculous healings in 2024, that he's going to bring miraculous provision, miraculous deliverance, because he's all powerful. And listen, this is not an event. This is a lifestyle, and God is teaching the people at LWC how to bring his word down. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how do we do that? How do we get God's kingdom to come? How do we get his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? How do we do that? With his word. The same way that he spoke into the darkness, let there be light, and light was. He goes, that's how it works, and it's your mouth. It's your mouth. And so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, right? And so we got to get this in our heart. He said this in Joshua chapter 1. He was speaking to Joshua, and he says, Joshua, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, it should always be on your lips. It's the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And that word meditate, it means to ponder by speaking. All right, it's not just being silent in like some Indian style thing. You know, it's not that kind of meditation. Meditation in this language means to ponder by speaking. So God's telling Joshua, listen, I'm telling you how to be successful. I'm telling you how to get things done on earth. He says, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate in it. Ponder it by speaking day and night, being careful to observe all that's written in it. And he says, and then you, turn to your neighbor and say, that means you. You will make your way prosperous. You'll do it. You will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Yes. Come on, are you seeing this? Yes. Listen, what's going to get things changed on earth? It's going to be us taking God's word and declaring it out of our mouth by faith. Yes. Yeah. God's word hasn't lost power. But there's this space between heaven and earth. There's this space between heaven and my heart where there's some arguments and there's some debates going on and there's some questions like, how's this going to work? Yeah, and we're going to learn how to take care of that space. It's airspace. And there's a lot of words going on in that airspace. How do you want to close the gap between heaven and earth so that we can really see God's kingdom come in your life? Come on, you roll up on an impossible situation. And God gives you a word. And you just speak it by faith. Listen, like I said, it's not an event. It's not like we're going to have this big event. And you listen, this is going to happen all the time in your life. I want you to see that. So that you're walking into reality, the reality of heaven. You're walking into the reality of an all-powerful God who is forever faithful. And wants to heal people and set people free. And give people wise counsel to get them out of the jam. Yeah, wants to speak love into somebody's heart who feels they can't be loved. Wants to give someone on the verge of suicide a reason to live. They're words of life, words of life. And listen, you're carriers of this. So God's telling us. The psalmist said the same thing in Psalm 1 and 2. He says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, or whose delight is in the word of God. And he meditates in that. He ponders it by speaking day and night. And this is what that man will be like. He'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water who bears its fruit in its season, whose leaves will not fade. And look what it says. And whatever he does will prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. Listen, can I tell you how to get things done? Man, you get the word of God down in your heart, find the promises of God, meditate on them day and night, and start declaring them. Yeah. It'll shut the mouth of the enemy, but your mouth has to move. Come on, are you hearing it? Yes. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. All right, so look what Jesus said in John 15:7-8. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. That's the hard part. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you'll ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. Yeah, this is what Jesus is saying. He's telling us how to get it done. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that's the hard part, isn't it? Because when an unforeseen circumstance rolls up on you, oh, what comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth? You know, it says, from out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, so when an unforeseen circumstance or a situation comes into your life that you weren't expecting and it rocks your world and you say, oh, it's always been like this. It always happens to me. Oh, no, we got to switch that around. Listen, we got to be able to keep God's word on our mouth, right? You, if my words remain in you, you'll ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you by the word of God. Why? Because God's word is settled in heaven. It's unarguable, church. He doesn't question it. He knows exactly what it's going to do and what he wants it to do. And guess what? He chose people like you and me to bring his word out and take care of some things, right? They're taken care of in the spirit realm so his will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. So listen, Jesus goes on to say, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you'll ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. And then he says this, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Yes. Listen, God gets glorified by answering your prayers. Yeah. He gets glorified by answering your prayers. God wants to answer your prayers. Yes. Listen, he's trying to get his blessings to you. Yes. Come on, are you hearing this? Yes. He's not holding them back. He goes, man, I want my blessings to come. I want your life to be fruitful. When your life is fruitful, my Father gets glorified through you. Yeah. So he's trying to get his blessings to you. He's trying to get his blessings to me. But there's this spirit realm. There's this thief that comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So John 10:10 says, right? The thief comes not except to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I've come that you might have life and life more abundant. So Jesus said, man, I'm telling you how to get your prayers answered. I'm telling you how to get the blessings of God, to reach up in heaven and pull his blessings down. Regardless, we're talking about every disease healed. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Can God still do that? Yes. Yeah. I know that we know he can, but do you believe he will?
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes we think, well, he can, but I don't know if he will. So what do we got to do? We got to find the promises of God's healing and start declaring these over our mouth day and night, day and night, day and night until our heart gets filled with faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then we begin to declare it. And when it comes out with faith, there's not a demon in hell that can stop it from doing what it's supposed to do. Come on, are you here in this church? Listen, the power's in you. You have it. This is available to you. Not only the power of the Spirit, you need the word to back up what's inside of there. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters in the beginning, remember? Yes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And then the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water, and God spoke, and light came. Yes. Yeah. The Bible says that the entrance of the word gives light so that even the simple can understand. Yes. Yeah, come on, are you hearing this? Listen, I want you to be so pumped up with faith today. Listen, I don't want you leaving here with an emotional high so that you can act charismatic. I want you to leave here with a solid word in your heart and a solid word coming out of your mouth. Yeah, it's not an event that happens once in a while. This is something that's a lifestyle change for you and me this year. Yeah, listen, the darker the world gets, the lighter Jesus will shine, but he's going to be coming through his word. Let there be light. Everywhere there's darkness, let there be light. Come on, do you realize you can declare that? Yeah, because it's not just absence of light. There's spiritual darkness. You can roll into a city or roll into a town or roll into a school and sense a spiritual darkness. And you can say in the name of Jesus, let there be light, and begin to declare the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all we have to offer, church. Yeah, and you don't have to be real loud about it. You know, every one of you have your own personality. Some of you are introverts, some of you are extroverts. You know, so whatever, you don't have to change your personality. We have to change our language. Amen. Yeah? Yeah, so the Lord wants to answer our prayers, but there's a spiritual war going on. Listen, and it's a war of words. That's the title of my message, by the way, a war of words. That's what we're battling. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, when Paul's listing the armor of God, he gets to the last part of it, and he mentions only one offensive weapon. In Ephesians 6, 17, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Everyone say the sword of the Spirit.
Sword.
He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I shared with you last week, that's not your Bible. That word in Greek is rhema. Rhema. And it means that which is uttered or spoken. So Paul is saying, I want you to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. It's our only offensive weapon, church. It's our only offensive weapon. Your Bible in your hand doesn't do you any good. Your Bible on the shelf, it doesn't do you any good. But listen, when you get that word of God, this all-powerful, forever settled in heaven, unarguable, firm, solid, faithful word of God in your heart and out of your mouth by faith, yeah, there's not a demon in hell that can stop it from accomplishing what it's supposed to do. I mean, think about this. Think about this. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, what happens? With a confession? With a confession? Yeah. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart, righteousness comes through believing, right? Yeah, so listen, if you're here today and you're wondering, man, am I saved? If you died today, would you go to heaven? If you have any question at all, listen, confess with your mouth, I'd confess Jesus as my Lord. Listen, and not a demon in hell can stop it. Listen, that changes your eternal destiny with that confession.
Yes.
How many believe that?
Yes.
All right, now what about this? What about this? Yeah, you can go ahead and give them some praise.
Yes.
But what about this? If we believe by confession I'm saved, what about by your stripes I'm healed?
Yes.
Whoa. Yeah, whoa, we can clap. But is the faith at the same level as your salvation? What about when you're lacking and you're struggling financially? Oh, yeah, confess with your mouth, Jesus the Lord, I'll be saved. But what about when you say, you'll meet all my need according to your riches and glory? Does that work on the same level of faith, see? Yeah, listen, the Spirit of God inside of us can dwindle. You know, it can fade. You ever gone through dry seasons before? You ever gone through seasons where you're saying, man, I mean, you're here on Sunday, you're all pumped up. Monday, you wonder if Jesus or God even exists sometimes. Like, where are you? You know, I can't hear from you. Come on, am I the only one that has gone through seasons where you're saying, Lord, where are you? You know, I need you now. I need you to move right now. This is desperate. And God says, my word hasn't changed. Yeah, your desperation doesn't change my word. If you can get my word settled in your heart and declare my promise, yeah, not get emotional about it so much, but stand on that forever settled word of God that's in heaven, we're going to see some results, church. Yeah, so listen, that's why when you come, and listen, if you came today and you didn't, last week we gave out life journals to everybody, all right, and we have these life journals. Can I get one of those, Courtney? I don't think I have one up here. Yeah. Listen, if you're here today and you didn't receive one of these, I want you to have one, all right? These are things that we developed. There's three reading plans in here you can use. There's the New Testament, the whole Bible, or the whole Bible, and a couple New Testament books. But there's a place to write down what you hear from the Lord. There's a table of contents. It's purposely empty, you know, so that you can write down the date and what God is speaking to you. Listen, I want to make sure that before you leave here today, if you did not receive this, pick it up. They're free because we want the word of God in you. And listen, can you imagine how powerful it would be if every single one of us is reading the same thing in the Bible every day? Yeah. That we're all reading the same things every day. That we can be talking and texting, man, did you read, Luke chapter 6 today? Man, I got, you know, we can be sharing the word of God, but I'm telling you, there's something that God wants to do. He wants to get his word established in your heart and in my heart. Yeah. Listen, we are a word church, okay?
Amen.
We believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. My wife and I are tongue-speaking Christians.
Amen.
And we pray for you in the Spirit a lot. You don't hear a lot of it here, But I'm telling you, we are walking in the Spirit to the best of our ability, and we believe with all of our heart that God wants to release the supernatural in your life. Not through us only, but through you and His Word and the power of His Spirit. Amen. Come on, poke your neighbor and say, that's you. Come on, you want this?
Yes.
It's free. Listen, every single one of you are shepherds. Every single one of you is an evangelist. Every single one of you are prophets and evangelists. You know, you might not hold the office like I do as a pastor, but listen, every single one of you have the same access to the same God and the same Word and the same Holy Spirit as every prophet, evangelist, apostle, teacher. Listen, I'm releasing you to go and do the work of the Lord in your neighborhood. Yeah, tell them about the love of Jesus. Come on. You know how awesome it is to tell people about God's grace? Tell somebody who's down and out, just say, Jesus loves you. Listen, that is powerful. When you see darkness on someone's face, listen, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. It was void. You ever meet people that just have a void look on their face? Or they have a hole in their life and you can tell there's just a void. There's an emptiness. And their countenance is dark. Not evil, just sad. No hope. Like, maybe they're going through something. Listen, Jesus loves you. And He's got a plan for your life. You don't have to get too preachy. But we just keep our words in alignment with what God is saying. And light comes. Things change. Come on, are you hearing me? I think that last year, in 2023, I didn't keep total count. But I'm estimating that I talked probably about 4 people off the edge with the Word of God. Because they were done. They were done. And for whatever reason, God intercepted their path with me. Oh, I just shared the love of Jesus with them. Yeah, they're living. You know, and we disciple them and help them get down the road. People that are walking in condemnation because they're addicts. They can't shake the addiction of whatever it is. They're addicts. They don't want to be, but they haven't learned how to take God's Word and take the Holy Spirit to satisfy that need in them. So they're reaching for something else. Listen, we have an assignment to intercept people's destinies, church. And it is the most fulfilling thing you can ever do. Yeah, listen, we're in this together. And this is kingdom work. Amen? It's not about building LWC so we can have a mega church and a program. No, man, we are real people. We're family, and we're making difference in people's life one person at a time from a genuine, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Meeting people where they're at and offering them some hope. Come on, this is what we're about. This is what the kingdom's about. Now you got me all crying and stuff. Me too. All right. Look at 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's get back into this warfare part. Look at the Apostle Paul says. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. How many of you know that our battle is not against flesh and blood? Amen. Yeah, we're not fighting against each other. We're not fighting against the LGBTQ. We're not fighting against these things. It's not our battle. Our battle's up here. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. So listen, if we're not going to war according to the flesh, don't talk like the flesh. Yeah, the flesh profits absolutely nothing. Yeah, we don't return insult for insult. Isn't that right? Listen, Jesus says, if someone curses you, bless them. We do the complete opposite. Isn't that right? We're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to bless those who wrongfully accuse us. Yeah? He says, we don't war according to the flesh. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments. All right, so listen. The sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God, is our only offensive weapon. It's the only one we have. Why is the only offensive weapon we have a weapon of words? Because words are primarily what we're fighting. Yeah? Arguments. Everyone say arguments. The Greek word for arguments is logismos, and this is what it means. It means a reckoning. It means a reasoning. It means a judgment or a decision. Probably the clearest definition that will touch you is that we get our word logic from this word. Arguments, logismos, logic. So Paul is saying you need to cast down the logical words in your own mind. Cast down those words in your mind that are questioning God's ability. Yeah. Cast down those words that are questioning whether or not God will do it. Cast down those words that are questioning whether or not God can do it. Yeah, we're casting down these things in our own logical mind. And listen, I want to talk about this for just a second, because I want to talk about strongholds. I want to touch strongholds for just a minute. There's a lot I can talk about strongholds, all right? But because we're talking about words, I want to share with you that we have to be careful that we don't build strongholds over people's lives. Yes. All right, the Greek word for strongholds is okaroma, and it really means anything on which someone relies, arguments and reasonings by which a dispute endeavors to fortify an opinion. Yeah, anywhere a dispute endeavors to fortify an opinion. So we have to be careful, because we're called to pull these strongholds down, but sometimes we as Christians build them. And you don't even realize you're doing it, because it's very subtle. Remember, death and life's in the power of the tongue. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, be careful what comes out of your mouth. Tell them. Yeah, so listen, this is how easy it would be. That guy's a jerk. That guy's an idiot. And then someone buys into it. Yeah, you shared it. That guy's a jerk. And someone buys into it, right? And so now both of you are in agreement, this guy's a jerk. You just built a stronghold. You fortified an opinion, and you're in agreement. So listen, you are declaring in the airspace, this guy's a jerk, with faith. Because you believe it. Because you believe it. And listen, I'm telling you, the Lord told us to pull these strongholds down. Yes, yes. Yeah, what do we use to pull the strongholds down? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So listen, right now, in the name of Jesus, I command every word spoken against any of you condemned in Jesus' name. I break every word curse spoken over you in the spirit realm. Right now, I break it off of you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yeah? We're breaking those strongholds, even the ones you speak over your own life. Come on, church. So when we get our words in alignment with God's word and speak it out with faith, that's a weapon. It's a weapon, and it's pulling down strongholds. And it's sending the enemy to flight. Amen? Yeah, so listen, you got to be careful what you come in agreement with. So when you hear words, man, and listen, churches are full of this. Did you see what she was wearing today? Oh, they call themselves a Christian. Shut up. Yeah. Pray. Listen, let me tell you why, church. Listen, it doesn't matter who I run into. It doesn't matter how far gone they might seem. They were created in God's image and in his likeness. So listen, my whole life is given to trying to find the place in their heart where I can unlock the potential of who they're created to be, regardless of how far gone they might seem. Are you hearing me? I'm not looking at people and judging them and saying, man, I can't imagine what they're going through. Look at them. That's a judgment. I'm supposed to be tearing strongholds down. So when you approach people that maybe you're uncomfortable around, and you bring in the love of Jesus and you meet them with grace, and you just start declaring God's word, you know that Jesus has a plan for you? Yeah, it doesn't matter what they're going through. It doesn't matter. You know, another definition or another thing of a stronghold, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it's reality. A stronghold also is a time where the enemy has been saying something to someone long enough that they finally believe it. And it's deceptive. You know, Satan's only power is to deceive you. Yeah. Deception is when Satan gets you to believe that a lie is true. That's the only power he has. That's why Jesus says, man, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Listen, we're carriers of truth, but we're also carriers of grace. So listen, things are being spoken. Someone has been listening to this lie long enough that they just believe it's true. Like, I was born a homosexual. I was born one. They believe it. How about the transgender community? Yeah, what are you going to do about that? Oh, I can't believe. Listen, they're deceived. What are we going to do? We going to judge them? We going to march on the street? No. Because they're creating God's image. And if I can get in there and I can begin to love on them and I can begin to help them and see that they would be able to see that, man, you're created in God's image. Yeah, if I can get in there and help them and untangle the confusion, listen, we're tearing strongholds down. And we do it with the sword of the Spirit. We do it with the Word of God. Man, I've been reading a lot, and I'll preach some of this soon. But man, I was reading in John chapter 1, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, all that. You know all that. And it says that Jesus, and this is what caught me, and I'll preach this maybe next week. It says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. And that caught me. He was full of grace and truth. Not just truth. Jesus had the perfect balance of grace and truth. That's what we need. Because listen, truth coming out of your mouth without grace is mean. Grace coming out without truth is meaningless. We need the blend. Right? How do we deal? Listen, this is in our mission field, church. It's not going away. You know, are we going to fight it or are we going to find it? Ooh. Come on. Are you going to fight it or are you going to find it? Let's find it. Let's find it. Let's find a way. Let's find a way to help these people get set free. And even that sounds judgmental. Like, they don't think they're bound. Well, you know, I'm not coming against what you think on that level. I don't want to come against. Remember a few weeks ago I shared with you that the Apostle Paul says that he preached repentance toward God? Remember that? That Paul didn't just preach repentance from sin. Yeah, he didn't just repent or preach repentance from sin, but he preached repentance toward God and faith in Christ. And so I shared with you, this is a strategy for us. Instead of telling people what they need to turn away from, point them towards somebody. They already know what's going on inside of them. How many of you know your sin right now? Come on, how many of you know the area in your life that you recognize I got to make some changes here? Yeah, it can be a substance abuse. It can be an attitude. It can be lack of obedience, like God's been telling you to tithe. But you don't have the faith. So what do you need? You need the Word of God to build up your faith so you can trust God with that. Amen? So strongholds, we got to be careful. We got to be careful. We're supposed to pull these things down. What do we do with arguments? We cast them down. What do we use to cast them down with? The Word of God. Yeah. You open your mouth and you begin to cast down these arguments. So here's what it looks like. I'll give you an argument and a weapon. All right? An argument and a weapon. Here's the argument. You're never going to get healed. It's not going to happen for you. It's an argument. What do you do with it? Well, here's the weapon. By His stripes I am healed. The Word says that by His stripes I am healed. And listen, we're not walking in denial of your illness, all right? We're not walking in denial of that. And we're not telling you, if I say it enough, it's going to happen. Listen, because you can also confess your weaknesses to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not feeling good. I have this illness, but I declare you have the final word. I'm going to believe your report, that your Word says that by your stripes, I'm healed. Here's another argument. Yeah, but you're not even living right. You don't go to church. You don't read your Bible. You're drinking all weekend. You're not even living right. Argument, right? Yeah, here's the weapon. But God says, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness in God in Christ Jesus. So therefore, Satan, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, there's arguments. Arguments trying to mess with you. The Lord says, we got to cast those things down. We use the weapon of the Word of God to cast down these arguments. Amen? What about this one? You're lacking. Oh, you'll never get out of the hole. You'll never climb out of that financial debt. You won't going to make it. It's an argument up here. But up here, there's a settled word in heaven that says, I'll meet all your need. According to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus, I'll meet them all. You'll lack nothing. I am the good shepherd. You will lack nothing. Amen? My cup overflows. Are you seeing what I'm saying? We take these arguments that are challenging God's forever settled in heaven word, and we're putting our mouth where it belongs so that we can win this war on words. Yes. Amen? Are you hearing it? Yes. Look at this now. He says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This one caught me just a couple days ago. Every high thing, we're to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So logismos, or arguments, it's our own logical thinking. And listen, it's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. Yeah, this is what it is. This is what it's doing. We're using our own intellect, our own logic, to reason and argue against God, the knowledge of God, our own intellect. We got to figure it all out before we can believe it. Listen, if you can figure it out, you wouldn't need faith. Is that true? So what's God saying? Listen, take my word for what it is. You know, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Those intellectual thinkers that are trying to figure it out. He says, no, we got to cast that down. Listen, your intellect, your intellect has no match against the knowledge of God. Your intellect is no match. Come on, are you hearing me? Your intellect is no match against the knowledge of God. Yeah. So quit arguing with his word. Yeah. Let's just take it. Let's just take it. Like Jesus says, man, a childlike faith. Yeah, God said it. I believe it. This is what he said. You know, you don't have to dig too deep and work so hard. This is what God said. I'm going to receive it like a child. Yeah? So sometimes we have to unlearn some things to get where we need to get. Amen? All right. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians 10:5, again, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Then it says this, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity. Ooh, isn't that what we're talking about? So listen, how do we do this? How do we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of God's word? Listen, you cannot win a mental battle in thought only. All right? You can't. You can't win a mental battle in thought only. How many of you woke up in the middle of the night and you got all kinds of things going on? Yeah, and then it's like 2 a.m. and you wake up and then this going around. Then you look at the clock. You've been up 3 hours dealing with that. Come on, you been there? Me too. This is why I'm teaching some things. Because listen, he says, casting down arguments, those are words, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So listen, you cannot win a mental war in thought only. You have to activate words. Let me show you how this works, okay? We're going to do an experiment. Some of you have seen this or heard this, but it's worth doing it, all right? So in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to think only the ABCs. in just a minute, all right? I'm going to ask you to think only the ABCs, and then I'm going to ask you to tell me your phone number out loud all at the same time. You got the instructions? Do you have the instructions?
Yes.
Thought only the ABCs. I'm going to give you verbal instructions, and you reply out loud with your voice. Got it? All right. Right now, in thought only, start saying your ABCs. Now, out loud, tell me your phone number, everybody. Okay, so listen, where did the ABCs go? Listen, your mind had to shut up long enough to hear what your mouth was going to say. And when you get your words aligned with God's word, you're casting down arguments and you're bringing every thought captive, and you'll sleep good. Yeah. Listen, this is what it means to meditate day and night. Man, to find a promise in the Word of God, you know, whatever you're dealing with. If it's finances, find some promises on finances. If it's illness, you know, find scriptures on illness. If it's depression or anxiety, find promises. It says all the promises of God are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So you find these promises, and you start meditating on them day and night. You ponder it by speaking day and night. Listen, can I tell you, every week, man, I'll take the message, and I'll get the scriptures all together, and listen, at night, I'll wake up to use the restroom or something. Now it's like four or five times sometimes. But I'll be meditating like this one. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, for casting down arguments. Yeah. I'll just meditate on it. And listen, I'll be meditating on other ones. You saw, I didn't look, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, being careful to observe all that's written in it, and then you will make your way prosperous. They're all over the place, and they're in me. So I'll meditate on these things day and night. And listen, I'll crash out mid-sentence. I'll wake up in a couple hours like I never stopped. Come on, are you hearing this? Day and night. Listen, this is what it means. So listen, when we begin to operate on that realm where we're recognizing that, man, we are going to recognize that God's word is forever settled in heaven, and I'm going to start training myself and meditating on His word so that I can carry His creative power with me wherever I go. Amen? Oh. Can I show you one couple more things? Are you sure? I mean, I got your attention now. Couple more things. I'll be quick. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, 13 through 14. All right, you good?
Yes.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you're good. Tell him.
Yes.
Real quick. I know I'm going a little long today, but check it out. I want to get this out. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. It says, to which of the angels, everyone say angels. To which of the angels has He ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Verse 14, are they, talking about angels, are they, angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So let me ask you, who is it that inherits salvation? It's us. And so here, the writer of Hebrews, God's word that is forever settled in heaven, says that angels are ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister for you. Yes. Not to you.
Yes.
For you. Ministry means serve, to serve. So angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for you. Now look at Psalm 103:20. Look at this. It says, bless the Lord, you His angels. So the psalmist is speaking to angels. All right, he also said, bless the Lord, O my soul, remember? Well, right now he's saying, bless the Lord, you His angels. And he says, who excel in strength. So angels excel in strength. To excel means to surpass. So angels are super strong. He says, bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength. Look at this, who do His word. What do angels do? What do angels do? Come on, say, angels do,
angels do His word.
When do they do His word? Look at next part. Heeding the voice of His word. Yeah, angels who excel in strength do His word, heeding the voice of His word. All right, so listen. Somebody speaks the word of God, and angels do it. Yeah, someone speaks out the word of God, and angels are ministering spirits, and they're sent to do the word. Come on, you got to see this. You know, angels are all throughout the Bible. You might not see these angels, but you need to know that God, he has a heavenly army. And there's ministering spirits, angels, that are sent to minister for you. And when you get the word of God out of your mouth, God's saying, all right, he's deploying them to do his word, church. Come on, are you seeing it? Listen, this is not weird. It's reality. I think that if you can see what is happening in the spirit realm and you were able to see an angel, you would do it. Everybody in the Bible did. You fall down fearful. Yeah. Yeah. But they're out there. They're out there. Angels take God's word from your mouth and they minister for you who are inheriting salvation. Yeah. What do demons do? If angels take the word of God and do them, what do you think demons do? They take death words to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, be careful what comes out of your mouth. Psalm 91, 1 and 2, man, I got two more verses here. Yeah, see, listen, your words are going to empower one of two things, okay? Your words are either going to empower the kingdom of heaven or your words are going to empower the kingdom of darkness. All right, so... yeah, keep a tight rein on your mouth. Psalm 91, 1 and 2, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And verse 2 says, I will think of the Lord. What does it say? Come on, I'm seeing if you're still, I've lost you. Come on, Pastor Vic, my butt's tired. It's been a long day. Listen, let's finish up here. Listen, I will say of the Lord. I'm not just going to think these things. I'm going to say, the Lord is my refuge. Yeah, the Lord is my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. I'm going to say this. I'm not just going to think it. I'm going to say it. When you say it, angels are doing it. The Lord is my refuge. A refuge is a place of safety. It's a shelter. It's a protection. The Lord is my shelter. The Lord is my fortress. A fortress is a place of defense and protection against large-scale attacks. Hallelujah. I'll say the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my fortress, right? In him I will trust. One more verse, Psalm 91, 11. Look at this. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Is that what God's word said? Is it settled in heaven? Why did God tell us about angels? Because he's already given them charge over you. And they're waiting to minister for you. They just need God's word to tell them what to do. Because they don't obey your word. They'll listen to his word. And listen, we got the Holy Spirit living inside us too. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, you have the advantage. You have the advantage, church. Amen. Can we stand to our feet? Let's declare a couple things. All right, you can close your eyes. By his stripes, I am healed. He took my infirmities. He bore my diseases. My God supplies all my need. According to his riches and glory. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I lend to many and do not borrow. God sets me up above all the nations of the earth. My enemies who come against me one way will flee before me seven ways. The Lord will command his blessing on me in my storehouses and in all to which I set my hand. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He's the Lord who heals me. I'm in the secret place of the Most High. Angels have been given charge over me to keep me in all my ways. No evil befalls me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me is condemned in Jesus' name. If God is for me, who can be against me? No one. So I declare that I stand with the Word of God. I align myself with His Word. So God is for me, and no one can be against me. And so Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I resist you. I resist your lies. Every condemning word that come against me, I render helpless. I render inoperative. It will not work. It will not succeed. I command you to flee in Jesus' name. I declare the Word of God will come to pass in my life. Angels are bringing to pass the Word of God in my life. I believe the Word of God. Words are spirit and life. I declare these words. They're spirit and life. I'm protected. I'm provided for. I'm healed. I'm blessed of God. I'm led by the Spirit. I'm a child of God. In the name of Jesus. Now, come on, give them some praise, church. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.